You people are fired up here today. You're fired up. I want you to thank that worship team, that special number and song. Let's thank those folks if you could. Oh, it's good to be here. Good to see you. Look at this great crowd here today. We had an incredible service last night at 6 o'clock, and we always want to encourage you to come on Saturday nights if you can. And we have services on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. So we got a lot going on here, but I have some good news. Y'all want some good news? Yep, that's good news right there. That's grandson number four, And yes, we keep track, How many grandparents we got out there? It is the greatest. Your kids don't care about my kids. I care about my grandkids. That's just the way it is. But mom is healthy, baby's healthy, and this baby was a little like you. It was 5 days late. Some of you come in here late. He was supposed to be born last week, but he got here. He got here when the Lord wanted him to get here. And do you want to know his name? Do you remember the story I told you? How many of you remember that story? Yeah. And did you guess the name? His name is Major. His name's Major. And Major Steele is his name. But I'm going to call him Pittsburgh Steeler just for fun. I might call him Pickle. I think that's his nickname. I want you to take your bulletin there, and inside there's a sermon outline. I want you to grab your sermon notes and take your Bibles, if you will, today, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That's a hard book to find in your Bible. It's right past the book of Psalms, if you can find. Psalms is usually right in the middle of your Bible. If you take your Bible and just open it in the middle, you usually find the book of Psalms. And just go to a couple of books past Psalms, and you'll find this little book called Ecclesiastes. We're in a series called A Glimpse of the Afterlife. We believe, we've talked about this all year, that we are living in the last of the last days. I mean, just open up your eyes, what's going on in our world, in the Middle East, on our college campuses. Got Russia and China. This whole place just seems like it's about to explode. But we believe all the signs are aligned that the Lord at any moment is going to come back and take the church, and we're going to go and live in heaven forever and ever. Amen. So this series, in the middle of this year here, we're just trying to give you a glimpse of what that's going to be like. So we've had a couple of sermons on heaven. We had one sermon on hell. And today, I just want to talk about the concept of eternity. And you can write the word essence in your notes, the essence of eternity. I want to somehow wrap our minds around this concept, because we are bound to some degree by that which we can see, that which we can touch, that which we can taste, that which we can hear. We're limited. And so the Bible talks a lot about life. It talks about the next life. And so I want to help you understand that one day, even though you're here now, one day we're going to transition from this life to the next, and that next life is going to be for all of eternity. And I hope that you're ready to go to heaven and not the other place. That's what I'm hoping. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 was written by a wise man. His name was Solomon. Everybody say Solomon. He was this rich guy, and he was in charge, and he'd tried everything. He'd experienced everything. And so this book is kind of writing about what is life and what's the most important thing in life. But in this third chapter, you've heard these words. You've heard these before, but I want to read them to you. He says, there is a time. Everybody say the word time. There is a time for everything. And there is a season for every activity under heaven. And there's a time to be born. And there's a time to what? There's a time to die. Now, you've already experienced the first half of that line. You've already gone through a season where you were born. How many of you were born? Uh-huh. You're here. Now, you've not experienced the second half of that line. But there's coming a season where everyone in this room is going to go through that. There's actually a website, an app called WeCroak. WeCroak.com. Don't look it up. But if you sign up at WeCroak, because we're all going to croak, they will send you every day 5 texts reminding you that you're going to die. Now, I don't know who came up with that app, but that's, people are signing up. Now, why would you want to get a reminder 5 times a day that you're going to die? Because it puts upon you the importance of today. It tells you, you never know when your time's going to come. You better live today to its fullest for the Lord God. So he says there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. There's a time to weep and a time to what? Laugh. A time to mourn and a time to what? Dance. There's a time to scatter stones, there's a time to gather them, a time to embrace, there's a time to refrain. There's a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And what's he saying there? He's just saying that in the course of a normal life, if you're here and you live on this planet called Earth, over the course of your life, you're going to see all those things. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. You're going to hear these things, see these things, you're going to experience. And I ask you, is there anything on that list that you've never experienced? Is there anything on that list you've not seen or you've heard about? Someone once described our lives with these 7 words: spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. What are the spills of life? Well, that's when you're born and you're just a baby. And if you're here and you're a parent, you have a small child, a baby at home, you know that all your whole day spent with that child just knocking stuff over, creating spills, and you spend your whole life picking up after those spills. Then there's the drills of childhood: spelling drills, multiplication drills, Bible drills, lesson drills by coaches, teachers, and parents. Then you have the thrills of the teenage years, that feeling of immortality, and you actually get to literally ride on roller coasters. You like doing those things, and you start to date, and you get this thing called acne. I don't know if it's that thrilling, but that's the stage. And then you go from the teenage years to, well, where you're just working and paying bills. And it seems like that's all you do is work and work and pay bills and try to buy a car and try to buy a home and spend your whole day just trying to pay for things. And then you go from there as you get older into the ills. You've got arthritis and high blood pressure and your knees hurt and every joint in your body hurts. And then you go from the ills to the pills, of course, when you're over the hill, and you're masking with the pills the ills that you're coming through. And the last stage is the wills of old age, when you write your will and when you say things like, I will get up, I will get up, oh, I can't get up, will you help me get up? And my question to you is, where are you in those stages? I'm somewhere between the bills and the ills is where I am currently. But the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. After those first 8 verses of all these things, the good and the bad, in the course of normal life, the Bible says he, God, has also, say the word also, besides just going through all that stuff, in the midst of all that, God has also set something in your heart. Even though you're on this earth going through all those things, he has set eternity. Even though we're bound by time and space, God has placed eternity. And there's something within inside of you that you realize there's more to life than just this life. When you're going through this life, you know there has to be more to life than just this. And if you think about it, it's why there really are very few atheists in the world. I know some people claim that they're atheists until right before they die, then they cry out to God. So they're not really an atheist. But the reason why there aren't that many true atheists in the world is because it runs contrary to the inner voice that God has placed within the heart of man. There's a bird called the bar-tailed godwit. Godwit. Everybody say godwit. You can look this up. It's a bird that is hatched in Alaska. That's where they're birthed, in Alaska. And every year, they migrate. They go from Alaska down to New Zealand and Australia. It's 7,000 miles. Now, they're born up in Alaska. They are what's called land birds. In other words, they don't land in the ocean. They don't get halfway and decide, I'm going to rest and I'm going to sit here in the water for a little bit. And I'm going to catch me a couple of fish while I'm waiting. No. Once they leave Alaska, they fly nonstop 7,000 miles to New Zealand and Australia. They've never been in the southern hemisphere before. Now, how do they do that? How do they fly 7,000 miles and nowhere to go? Well, because God put a homing device within them. And in that same way, I believe that all of us were hatched here on the planet Earth. But God put a homing device in you, something that's pulling you and drawing you to a place called eternity, a place called heaven where we will live forever and ever. Eternity is beyond the parameters of time and space. Eternity has no beginning, it has no ending. It is time without end. It's to infinity and beyond. Eternity is endless. Eternity is forever. It is time that has no limits. Now, secondly, I want to give you some examples of eternity, and I could give you 100. I'll just give you one. There's a lot of different variations of this. But one of my favorites is if you had a bucket of sand, and I don't know how many grains of sand in a bucket, let's say there's several thousand, and you go in your backyard on your patio and you just dump that bucket of sand on your patio, and you have a bird that you've trained, maybe a godwit bird, I don't know, but you find a bird that you've trained it to pick up one grain of that sand and fly to the moon. And it takes the bird literally 1 million years to fly to the moon. And that bird drops off that grain of sand and turns around and flies all the way back to your backyard. It takes it another 1 million years, picks up another little grain, and goes all the way to the moon, drops it off, takes them 1 million years. 1 million years later, comes back and gets another. And by the time they get all of that bucket gone, you say, okay, bird, come over here to the West Coast, all the way from Mexico, all the way up to Oregon. There's a beach there. I want you to take all this sand and take it to the moon. And every little grain takes 1 million years up, 1 million years back. By the time the bird's got all that on the moon, you say, now I want to go to the East Coast. After the bird does the East Coast, you say, now I got to take you over here. There's a thing called the Sahara Desert. We want to go get that up there on the moon. And the line is that by the time the bird has completely disassembled the entire earth and placed it on the moon, that eternity would just be starting. That is a long, long time. Amen? Now, I want you to write this down. There are some spiritual entities in the Bible that are eternal. Write this down as quickly as you can. We know that God is eternal. We know that Jesus is eternal. And we know that the Word of God is eternal. Those are three different entities that are eternal. They go on forever. There is no end. And in your notes, in your outline, I've got a bunch of Bible verses in there. And those are for you to sit down and to look them up and to study them. I just wanted to give you that information. There's actually four spiritual entities. These are just the first three: God, Jesus, and the Word. And I want to read some of these verses to you. First, the ones that have to do with God being eternal. We know Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created what? He created the heavens and he created the earth. So before the heavens, before there was a star, before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there was a planet called Earth, before any of that, God existed. And he was the one that created all this. Psalm chapter 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is eternal. Isaiah 40, verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and he understands no one, his understanding no one can fathom. Psalm 145, verse 13 says, your kingdom, Lord, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. God is eternal. We know that Jesus is eternal. Jesus said these words in Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. Oh, I was dead and behold, I'm alive forever and ever and ever. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John chapter 8, verse 58, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. And you all know Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today. It doesn't say tomorrow. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He is eternal. And then the word of God is eternal. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Psalm 119, verse 89, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Now, I just read 15 verses to you. There are more that talk about that God is eternal, Jesus is eternal, and the word of God is eternal. And most of you have, most of you believe that. Most of you think you believe that God is eternal. But there's a fourth entity. I want you to write this down. Your soul is eternal. You believe that about God, you need to believe this about your own soul. You believe this about Jesus, you need to believe this about your own soul. If you believe the word is eternal, you need to believe this about your own soul. Jeremiah said, before I formed you in the womb, before I knew you. That little grandson of mine, little Major Steele, before he was created, there was a God in heaven who knew that he would be here and that he would be a few days late. He knew that. We know the psalmist says in Psalm 139, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written down in your book before one of them came to be. Before this boy ever breathed one breath of life in this life, God has already written down all his days, every single one of them. We know that human life begins at conception. I want to say that to you again. We know that human life begins at conception. We also know that we're created in the image of God. And one of God's characteristics is that he is eternal. And so that moment of conception when life begins, God places within that child an eternal soul. The normal life expectancy today on the planet Earth is 77 years. I want you to write that down, 77. That's normal life expectancy. If you're here today and you're 80 years old, you're 3 years past your expiration date. On average. Because how old are you? Seriously, how old are you? Well, you have a number, but let's say you're 25 and God has already determined that you're gonna die when you're 26. How much time do you actually have left? How much of your life have you lived? If you're 10 and God says you're gonna live to be 97, well, you got some time. But the problem is you don't know when your time is up. You could be 50, and God has already determined at 51, your lifetime is over. There's a lifetime expectancy for each and every one of us. The average is 77. That's the average. But the moment you're conceived until that date of expiration, this body houses the Spirit of the living God. It's not just, there's a Holy Spirit that comes at the point of salvation, but the moment you were conceived, God breathed life into you, and you became a living soul at conception that's going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 tells us that this body, the Bible calls this in 2 Corinthians an earthly tent, T-E-N-T. This is just an old tent. It's just old and... It's kind of, I like, you ever seen a balloon? It's got air in it, and let the air out, and the balloon goes, and all the air goes out, and the balloon just goes. That's kind of what this is. I mean, when the spirit of life leaves me, my body's going right back. What's the Bible say in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7? We know we came from the dust. Ecclesiastes 12, 7 says, "Dust, the dust returns to the ground from which it came, but the spirit returns to the God who gave it." There have been many times, not a few, where I have been by the bedside when someone took their last breath and I was watching them. I've come upon car accidents. I saw one not too long ago over here on Devonshire. There was a guy I drove by, the wreck had just happened, and he was in there and he was dead, Fred. The life had left him. And all that was left was this shell, because life had left that shell. Now, at that moment, when you die, at that moment, that second that that spirit of life leaves you, you're not dead. You continue on for all of eternity. Your soul does. Look what Genesis 2:7 says. It says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground." So it's just this body there. And then it says, "God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And so I look across this audience here today. You need to know that the moment you were conceived, God was forming you, and he placed an eternal soul within you. You are a soul. I want to show you this video. This is it's 60 seconds long, and it's a plane that's having some problems, and they need to land. And I want you to hear the conversation between the pilot and the control tower, okay? Listen to this video, 60 seconds long.
Let me know
Listen.
What you need. Yeah, American 738, we'd like to come back around and land.
American 738 is an emergency?
Yeah, we're going to declare an emergency. We have a wing body overheat light right now. I can't get the autopilot to engage. I'm going to get the light on here and tell you how many people I got. We got 147 people on board the aircraft. We got about 260 minutes worth of fuel and declaring an emergency.
American 738, understand it's a wing body indicator light?
Wing body overheat light. It's a pretty, it means there's a bleed air leak in the aircraft.
American 738, turn right heading 060, maintain 5,000. Which runway do you need?
Oh, give us the long one.
American 733, roger, expect runway 26 left.
26 left, American 738.
American 738, give me the pounds of fuel on board and Sagan, the souls on board.
Okay, we have 147 souls. What else did you want to hear for American 738? We've got 26,000 pounds of fuel.
Roger. American 738, give me the pounds of fuel on board and Sagan, the souls on board.
Okay, we have 147 souls. What else did you want to hear for American 738? We've got 26,000 pounds of fuel.
Roger.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
Now, how many of you glad you're not on that plane? But it was interesting that the first time the pilot says we have 147 people on board, and the control tower started saying, "How many souls?" You have 147 souls. Because that guy in that control tower knew that inside that plane were not just people, but were souls. So I look here, if this was a plane right here, this pretty big plane, we got about 3,000 people here, but you're not just people. Every single person here is a soul. And your soul, we know God is eternal, Jesus is eternal, the Word of God is eternal. Your soul is eternal. And when you die, and this old body goes back to the dust in the ground, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, your soul is going to be put inside a new body, a glorified body. And who the person who you are, your soul, and who you are, is going to go on forever and ever and ever. And of course, we believe it's either going to be in a place called heaven or a place called hell, which takes us to our third point. We want to move quickly to the third point, which is the echoes of eternity. If God is eternal, if Jesus is eternal, if the Word of God is eternal, if the soul of man is eternal, two things. You've got to get both of these things. Number one, if you can understand eternity, eternity minimizes the value of temporary things that consume us. Everything on this earth that is temporary, that consumes your time, its importance diminishes in light of eternity. Several things. First of all, our consumer choices. We're constantly bombarded with social media, television, and any kind of advertising for goods, products that you buy that are all going to eventually end up in a garage sale, a storage unit, or a trash can. We have sheer luxury in this country. Most of us here in this room live in nice houses, we drive nice cars, we have nice clothes. Compared to the rest of the world, who, if you've never traveled much, you don't realize how many third world countries there are, people who live in abject poverty. We have it too well off here. I know some of you don't think you're rich. If you live in America, you're rich. And the problem is we have it so well off, we don't think about eternity because we don't need eternity because we're good right now. That's why right now, all over this city, there are people who are not in church. Where are they? Well, they're jogging, they're cycling, they're shopping, they're sleeping, they're eating, they're driving, they're golfing, they're pickling. They don't even have an hour in an entire week to come to church and worship God and prepare their soul for eternity. They don't have that. They don't need it because they have it so well off now. And number three is what I call the silence of the church on issues of eternity. Churches don't preach on hell. I did it a couple weeks ago. I didn't get very many people said, "Hey, I really enjoyed that sermon." Hardly nobody. It was silent in here. Preach twice on heaven, but churches don't preach on the second coming. They don't preach on the end times. They don't preach on the importance of dying to yourself and taking up your cross and following Jesus every day because we don't want to offend anybody. So we just do everything super nice. And the fourth reason that we don't talk about eternity is because we're addicted to technology today. We are. We're addicted to this phone. We walk around like this all day long. You ever go in a Starbucks or coffee shop? You go in there and it's like, it's quiet in there. Everybody's like doing this. Go to a restaurant, everybody's doing this. You ever notice that? It's like, it looks like an idol, doesn't it? And if you look, It looks like I'm praying to it. I'm praying to it. Well, I remember one time I was out with one of my daughters and I had my phone and she had her. I said, hey, pass me that ketchup. She said, "Dad, just text me. I want to show you this chart. This chart kind of represents life. Every dot is 1 month. And so on one row of dots is 3 years. 3 years. Are you with me? Every row of dots is 3 years of time. And this is if you live to be 90, not 77. This is if you live to be 90, okay? And it starts when you're 18. So do we have anyone here who's 18? Anybody who's 18? Are you 18, young man? What's your name? What is it?
Ethan.
Ethan, stand up 1 second. Let me see what an 18-year-old looks like. Come on. Okay, Ethan, this is you. This is all you got left. If you live to be how old? 90, okay? How many of you tracking with me? Now, Ethan, pay attention. A third of this is spent sleeping. So you just lost a third of it, Ethan. And because a third of your life is spent sleeping and you don't even know where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in a car, wherever you are, you just... So a third of it's already gone. Now, Ethan, you're gonna have to get a job one day, okay? And that's the green dots. And I think this is about 128 months there, something like that. And this is if, you know, you don't work a month at a time. You work 8 hours, so, and then you're off on Saturday and Sunday. This is if all the time they did this math, if you worked back to back, never took a second off, just from the start, this is how many of your days will be spent working. And then, Ethan, you'll drive your car in L.A. The purple dots here is the amount of time you spend in your car driving. And if you live in L.A., you spend more time than the average. Amen. And then, Ethan, you eat. You take time to eat. Okay. The next, the row of blue dots are the number of years or months that you will spend cooking, fixing food, calling Uber Eats or whatever, however you get your food, okay? Stand in that In-N-Out line for 25 minutes. And then the yellow, Ethan, these are the months that you spend doing chores or fixing things or search, you know, around your house. We spend half our life just looking for things like our keys and stuff, but these are just chores, household chores around the house. And then, Ethan, I have to ask you this question. Do you use the bathroom? You do that. Okay, so that's the next purple line. So you're still looking pretty good, right, Ethan? You still got enough time, right? Except, here's the problem. The average 18-year-old in America, the average, spends 92% of all their free time just simply looking at the phone. That's the average. Look it up. These kids are just like you adults. They're on the phone all the time. So now what you have left, Ethan, is you literally only have about 23 months. Everything else are things you have to do. And that's true not just for him, that's true for us, that about 99% of the things that we do in this life are things that are temporary. And there's a lot of ways to twist that. But I just want to tell you that eternity has a way of minimizing the value of the temporary things that consume us. But secondly, write this down. Eternity magnifies the importance of you becoming a Christian today because of how fast life goes by. Now, in your outline, your notes, I have a graph there, a timeline from 0 to 100. This is if you live to be 100, all right? You're born there. I want you on your timeline to put a dot on where you're, how old you are. Now, I put mine up here on the chart. You see that red dot? That's how old I am. Physically. Mentally, I'm still about a 16-year-old. But anyway. I want you also to figure out where 77 is, because that's the average life expectancy. Now, that's easy to do, because halfway 0 to 50, 100 is 50, so you put a little mark at 50, and then halfway between 50 and 100 would be 75. And your 77 will be just past that three quarters mark. Now, I got to tell you, when I look at my timeline here, how much I don't have a whole lot of time left. It doesn't matter that I think I'm 16 in my brain. I'm looking at my red dot and that 77. I don't need to call WeCroak.com. I've told you this. I live every day of my life knowing it could be my last. I don't mess around. I don't need this stuff for me to serve God. I'm living every day knowing that this today could be my last breath of air that I take. But I'm trying to speak to some of you who are going through all that stuff in Ecclesiastes 3, and you're laughing and you're dancing and you cry some and you're planting and you're tearing stuff down, you're bent and you're working and you're sleeping and you're doing all the stuff, and you have no thought of eternity. And I want you to think about that verse that says God has placed eternity in your heart, and to think about the fact that this is a timeline, and you see the arrow pointing. That arrow is for you to imagine in your brain, how far can you see out into the future? Can you see from here to Santa Monica? If this was a timeline, Can you see from here to Santa, to the islands out there, Catalina Island? Can you see from here to Hawaii? If I drew a line from here all the way to Hawaii, if I could draw a line from here all the way to the setting sun or to the farthest star, the ends of the galaxy, and this line goes for eternity, forever and ever, here I am. I got this one little brief window of time to decide whether or not I'm going to spend my time in a place called heaven or spend my time in a place called hell. And so eternity magnifies the importance of you giving your life to Jesus today. Jesus said these words in John chapter 6. He said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day." Oh, write this down. Life is short. Eternity is forever. You can write on there that hell is hot and heaven is real, but you need to choose Jesus today. You need to choose Jesus. I want you to stand. Please don't leave. We're actually early right now. I want to show you one last verse and then pray, but let's all stand. Mark chapter 8. Jesus said these words, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his what? His what? His soul." In other words, if you take everything in this world, I mean all the money, all the jewelry, all the fame, the glitter, and the money, and the wealth, and put it all in one big pile, and you had a scale, and on one side was everything this world has to offer, and on the other side was one soul. He's saying that that one soul is worth more than the whole world put together. What good would it be for you to gain the whole world, yet you forfeited your soul because you don't know Jesus? What good would it be for you to make a billion dollars? Man, if I just had money. Well, what if you had $1 billion, but you're not a Christian? You're in trouble. What good would it be for me to have 1 million followers on Instagram? What good would it be for me to have 2,000 Rolex watches? What good would it be for me to have 10,000 Bitcoin? What good would that do if your soul is not prepared to meet the Creator God of the universe? And so I'm going to say a prayer. And when I'm done praying, I invite you, if you do not know Jesus, if you've never confessed him to be your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come down here to the front and walk through these doors. And we have some counselors there that will pray with you. And they'll talk with you. If you've never been baptized, you can be baptized today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this series, because, Lord, we don't think enough about things that are eternal. And Satan, in many ways, he's blinded us to the truth. He has us all consumed with things that are temporary. And we chase, we run, we pursue the things of the world. And what we ought to be pursuing are the things that are eternal, the things that are of God, the things that are holy, the things that are pure, the things that are written in the Word of God. I'm so thankful, God, that there are many people here today who sometime in their life, God, in that little brief window called life span that you've given them, that somewhere in that brief window, the Bible says that life is but a vapor. You're here one moment, the next moment you're gone. But for most of us in this room, I believe, God, that many of us, in this window called life, we reached a point where we saw the foolishness of our ways and understood that there was nothing we could ever do to earn eternal life. And so we stepped out in faith and we bowed our knees and we confessed with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's King, that he's our Savior, that he's our ruler. And for anyone here today, God, who's yet to make that decision, I pray that this would be the day. That somehow as we see these timelines and this picture with all those dots and how life gets busy doing things that are not all that really important, God, that the most important thing is this moment, this second, this service, this song, this invitation for anyone who does not know Jesus to come today and put their faith and trust in your one and only Son. Bless this church, bless each person, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,